Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Türk Telekom 2011 year-end results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until we conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference today, then please press star zero on your telephone. I would just like to remind you that this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to hand over to the chairperson, Onur Öz. Please go ahead with your meeting, and I'll be standing by.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Türk Telekom's 2011 year-end conference call. I'm Onur Öz, Investor Relations Officer. Before we proceed, let me mention that this document, the presentation, contains financial information that is reported under CMB IFRS, and this financial information is audited. We invite you to read the complete disclaimer included in the first page of the presentation. Now, I would like to turn the call over to our Group CEO, Mr. Hakan Canapani.
Okay. Hello, everybody. It's a pleasure to welcome you all, and thanks for joining us for our full year of 2011 earnings presentation. Going straight into the presentation, I will begin with an overview of our consolidated performance. On page four, I'd like to start with just some of the highlights, the things that we have achieved during 2011. We have solid business performance in all segments, which led to a very strong top-line growth. I think it is the highest in the privatization. We have a robust consolidated EBITDA margin, strong operating performance with 6% EBIT growth, transformation of mobile business leading to increased net subscriber gains and revenue growth. Revenue growth in fixed broadband supported by ARPU and subscriber increase, improved composition of revenues by moving into high-growth areas. I also wanted to highlight that in the mobile business, we continued our transformation and investment to support growth and quality. We executed a good number of net subscriber gains and revenue growth in Avaya. Avaya is the leader of the mobile number portability in 2011, in the net number portability of 2011. In the fixed business side, we also had a good revenue growth driven by fixed broadband. Both ARPU and subscriber growth contributed to double-digit revenue growth, revenue increase in ADSL. Last but not least, our share of high-growth businesses in our revenue composition is increasing, like I mentioned, and there is also an increase in the services for corporate services offered. Moving to page five, I will talk about consolidated summary financials for the year, for the full year 2011. Consolidated revenues increased 10% to almost 12 billion Turkish lira. This is at the top of our investor guidance range for 2011 revenue growth. We're very happy about that. Our growth engines, ADSL and mobile, contributed significantly to this top-line performance with 18% growth in ADSL and 16% growth in mobile business, largely offsetting the slight decline of 3% in fixed voice business. Consolidated EBITDA grew 5% year-on-year and reached over 5 billion Turkish lira with a margin of 43% thanks to our robust operating performance. Operating profit grew 6% year-on-year to 3.5 billion Turkish lira. On the other hand, our net income of 2.1 billion Turkish lira was affected by an unrealized loss related to FX movements. Let's go to slide six, please. We have revenue trends for the last 3 years. As I mentioned earlier, we have a very good trend here with share of high-growth businesses increasing. The highest proportion from our total revenue in 2011 was still generated by fixed voice services, but it's obviously seen that revenue share from fixed voice came to 34% of total revenues in 2011, from 43% in 2009. The good development in this trend is that we are moving into high-growth businesses fixed broadband, and mobile revenues now generate more than half of the total. Those two businesses together grew 17% last year and will continue to drive our top-line growth. On to page 7, just to give you a flavor of the bundle packages and some of the numbers on the line axis and the ARPU. During 2011, we worked with leading brands of Turkey to offer discount benefits to our fixed voice customers. These partnerships included many different areas like travel, energy, electronics, and department stores. We will continue to offer these loyalty programs. Our Home Advantage bundle packages continued their success in 2011. We increased Home Advantage customer base to 50% of total. These packages include bundle minutes for local and national calls. Good trend here is that with the help of bundle packages, the share of recurring revenue and fixed voice revenues now is 71% from about 62% a year ago. We also managed to keep fixed voice ARPU stable at 22 liras throughout that year. Number of naked ADSL subscribers reached 240,000, and we closed the year with 15.2 million total access lines. On to page 8, solid revenue growth in fixed broadband. In 2011, we generated 450 million liras more revenue in ADSL, recording an annual growth of 18% compared to 2010. ADSL ARPU increased by about 11%, and net 170,000 subscriber gain contributed to the revenue growth. We achieved a higher ADSL ARPU thanks to the upselling and some price adjustments. As of 2011 year end, ADSL penetration reached 40%, and we believe that there is still good growth potential for penetration given that the average penetration in Europe is around 61%. Overall, we believe that Türk Telekom Group is very well positioned to sustain its strong momentum and execute well in 2012. Looking ahead, I think we have very clear visibility of the coming year. We will continue to meet our customers' total communication needs with a commitment to quality. We will grow our business, building on our unmatched technological know-how, advanced distribution channels, strong brand name, converged products, teamwork, and synergies. This was a brief of Türk Telekom Group's consolidated performance. Now I would like to hand over to my colleague Gökhan Bozkurt, for the fixed line business update. All yours, Gökhan Bey.
Thank you, Hakan Bey. Hello, everybody. I'll give you an update on the performance of fixed line business in 2011. On slide 10, we start with the financial summary of the business. We had a very good year in 2011, growing our fixed line business revenues 8% to over 9 billion Turkish lira. The positive growth performance was driven by ADSL, other data access, and acquisition of Pantel. As you remember, we started consolidating Pantel's financials in Q4 2010. Now, if we exclude Pantel, our organic growth is 5.5% in 2011. Fixed line EBITDA grew 4% to 4.7 billion Turkish lira with EBITDA margin of over 50%. Operating profit also increased to 3.7 billion Turkish lira for the full year. Personnel cost, which is one of the major cost items in the fixed line business, stayed at 20% of fixed line revenues once we exclude the one-off effect of incentive expense on our voluntary employee retirement program. Excess lines per employee increased to 635. Overall, we are one of the most efficient fixed line operators in the region. Now on page 11, we look at the evolution of fixed broadband usage and upselling details. On the top left graphic, you can see capacity breakdown of ADSL packages. Share of unlimited packages among TP.net customers reached to 62% of total customer base. People are increasingly demanding more capacity from their internet provider. Being able to provide capacity is key here, which we think only fixed broadband is capable of. In terms of speed, 89% Ethernet subscribers are now in up to 8 megabit speed packages, which has grown 24%. Again, increasing demand of speed can be best met with fixed broadband connection. On the bottom left graphic, you can see the trend in ADSL data usage. Average monthly data usage was 23 gigabytes in December 2011. Compared to March 2010 level, average usage almost doubled. These trends clearly show our success in upgrading customers to higher packages, as well as demonstrating customers' appetite for higher speeds and higher capacities, and we think we are the best position to meet this demand. Overall, we have a good revenue growth trend in fixed broadband. As a result, ADSL ARPU reached 36.3 Turkish lira, an increase of 11% compared to 2010. Moving on to slide 12, we have leading initiatives in fixed broadband. We are very excited about them. First, I'd like to talk about Türk Telekom's first retail internet product, Lokum. Lokum means Turkish delight. For the first time in Turkey, we offer entry-level pay-as-you-go internet connection to fixed voice customers of Türk Telekom who do not have internet connection. Lokum is an introductory internet connection with 1 megabit speed. The idea here is to connect with millions of households to internet and encourage them to upgrade to regular high speed and capacity internet packages. We provide our fixed voice customers who do not have ADSL and modem and a free landing page. They pay 1 lira, 1 Turkish lira for 1 hour and 2 Turkish lira for 1 day internet access. Our main focus here is the PSTN customers without an ADSL connection. We believe that Lokum product provides a good potential to increase internet penetration in Turkey. It will also help PSTN customer loyalty. Second, I'd like to talk about our fiber to the home and building initiative in 2011. We launched our offer this January. We are introducing fiber to the home and fiber to the building connection to all cities of Turkey. With this initiative, we will introduce ultra-fast internet. Currently, Türk Telekom owns 85% of all fiber access networks in Turkey. Building on our strong fiber optic network, we will continue our investments in this area. We have reached over 150,000 kilometers of fiber in Turkey. With that, I'd like to hand over to my colleague, CEO of Alea, Erkan Akdemir, for the mobile business update.
Thank you. Good afternoon to you all. 2011 has been a successful year for Avaya both in terms of the growth and profitability. Overall, Avaya delivered a significant performance, achieving more than 16% top-line growth while maintaining profitability in the face of the fierce competition. We continue to focus on the market needs and launch various innovative products differentiating Avaya from our competitors. Despite the continued pricing aggression in the market, we have sustained our revenue at 802 million Turkish lira in Q4 with an 18% growth compared to the same period of the previous year. More importantly, we managed to increase our EBITDA and EBITDA margin in Q4, reaching 127 million at 16% margin. Our annual EBITDA grew by the 14% and reached to the 318 million Turkish lira, which is the highest level since 2008. Moving on to the next slide, our subscriber base grew by 10% compared to the same period of the last year, reaching 12.8 million. The growth was particularly strong in the postpaid segment, with almost 1 million net addition, and our leading position in the market in terms of the MNP gains is a major contribution to success. Thus, Avaya maintained its leadership position with 44% postpaid customers over its total subscriber base. We continue to offer attractive flat rate minute packages for all directions. As a result, our MOU in Q4 is 316 minutes, and Avaya has consistently achieved the highest MOU in the market for the past 5 years. As you will see on the next slide, our blended ARPU grew 7% year-on-year as a result of our continued focus on the data and incoming traffic. postpaid subscribers now have the highest share in our customer base, which had significant contribution on improvement of our annual ARPU. On the next slide, I would like to share with some further information on our ongoing transformation. We continue investing in our network infrastructure to provide the best coverage quality to our customers. Today we cover 98% of the population in terms of the 2G base station, and with more than the double number of the 3G base station, we managed to reach 79% population in terms of the 3G services in less than 3 years. Moreover, important saving measures have been taken starting from 2009. OPEX per site reduced 18%, while CAPEX per site has reduced by 21% despite 18% compound inflation. For improved customer satisfaction and enhanced brand image, we persistently continue to redesign our shops. With this context, number of exclusive dealers reached 894, a 32% increase compared to 2010. The number of our non-exclusive shops also grew to over 14,000 locations. Next slide. Finally, a few words for the mobile data revenues. The share of the mobile data revenues grew substantially for AVEA, almost doubling its share in our overall revenues in the last quarter of 2011. The launch of the smartphone and the tablet campaigns with competitive offers contributed both to the boost in data revenues and customer loyalty. Now I pass to the Khan for the financial update.
Well, thank you very much. This is Kaan Aktan. I'm director in TT Group Finance. I will take you through the financial section of the presentation. Now we'll start with the page 20, giving the consolidated summary profit and loss statement. So our revenues growing at 10% with the support 18% growth in ADSL, 16% in mobile, and more than 200 million Turkish lira incremental contribution from our newly acquired company, Pantel. So this is, as I mentioned, giving a top of the guidance, 10% growth in the revenues. For EBITDA, the better news is that top line growth is now turning into 5% growth in absolute terms, keeping the margin right at the middle of our guidance. Operating growth is even higher at 6% with depreciation at a stable level. On the in the financial income and expense line, we see the impact of the unrealized FX losses on borrowing. We are saying unrealized because as of the year end, more than 90% of the losses was not turned into a cash impact. This means we still have the chance to recover from those losses depending on the level of the FX rate throughout the year. One remark here on the tax line, you see a lower tax exposure. Operating profit is up by 6%, but tax exposure is down by 11%. This is solid realized tax benefit, and it's coming from the unrealized FX losses. We turn to page 21 for our consolidated summary balance sheet. So the main subject here in this page, apart from other impacts on different operational lines due to the high revenue growth, is the change in the financial liabilities. About 1.1 billion Turkish lira increase in the liabilities, but 65% of this coming from the FX impact. So next page is again consolidated summary cash flow statement. Now we see that for 2011, 33% of revenues are turned into operating cash flow. And in the cash flow from financing activities, we see the impact of the high dividend payout of last year, which was 2.2 billion. We turn to page 20, 23 for the summary revenue breakdown. Now with this page, we'll see the revenue performance from individual services or business lines. ADSL and mobile combined together, they grow at 70%, 17%, and combined together, they give us 50% of our revenue. Data services, which includes mainly corporate data products like Metro Ethernet, VPN, and managed services, give solid growth of 22%. And this is more than offsetting the expected and planned loss on lease line performance. International settlement includes the additional revenues from Pantel since this was the first full year of consolidation for Pantel within T2 Group. And to also to mention, higher euro rate is also supporting the contribution that we get from Pantel since it's a mainly European-based organization. Other line here includes revenues from our smaller subsidiaries operating in R&D, system integration, and call center and content businesses. So they play an important role for us in terms of synergies and efficiencies, but they also contribute to our revenues. So combined together, those five companies delivered around 60% revenue growth in 2011 under the fixed line business. PSTN is a slight decline versus 2010, which is now, as you see, more than offset by growth in other business lines. We turn to page 24 for the summary OPEX breakdown at the consolidated level. Personnel costs had the impact of the incentive program in 2011. Overall cost was around 100 million, and I will be giving more details in the fixed line specific page for OPEX. Domestic interconnection, 18% increase is directly related with the growing mobile business with 20% more postpaid customers and 17% higher MOU. For the international connection, nothing unusual since when we exclude the inorganic components that's coming through Pantel addition, since most of their interconnection cost falls into that line. Commercial costs, very much related to higher gross and net add in mobile, turning into higher commission costs, and also with higher advertising marketing costs, with increased unit costs in media spending. For bad debt, so more details will come at specific pages for mobile and fixed. We turn to page 25 for fixed line business and summary P&L statement. 8% growth in revenues, well above the average of other telcos in incumbents. And this is also turning into a 4% EBITDA growth in absolute terms. Margin is still above 50%, and to be exact, 51%. Next page, page 26, gives us the OPEX breakdown for our fixed line business. Now we start with the personnel expense. As mentioned, there was an incentive program for voluntary retirement and leave. And within 2011, more than 3,000 people joined the program, creating an additional 100 million lira cost in that line, which will be agreed as a one-off. Another item here is the doubtful receivable. So to start with, I should say that 2010, not the 11, 2010 was also a great year for collection performance with great focus, improved systems and processes. So you see only 15 million lira expense in 2010, and this is only 0.2% of our revenues last year. So itself is a one-off in terms of the performance. But when you look at the current year, the year of 2011, we implemented a collection program. This time we also communicated the program through mass media to our customers, and the impact on the collections was even bigger. So in full year, we recorded a net gain in the bad debt line of 53 million. Others line here includes certain expenses like collection, billing, rent, utilities, outsourced services. One thing to mention is last year we recorded a one-off gain due to an accounting adjustment for our employee-related liabilities. It was 90 million last year, so excluding that, the real growth in that line is 4%. Next page, page 27, is the mobile business P&L statement. Revenues growing with net adds, changing customer mix in favor of postpaid. Additionally, mobile data is also now contributing to the revenue growth, and the impact is around 5 percentage points out of the 16. EBITDA is grown by 14% and the margin is stable. With depreciation at even at similar or even a lower level compared to last year, now the operating loss is 7%. It was 11 last year, 2010. It's very clear that the growth in the growth momentum is contributing to the closing the gap between the break even in our operating profit performance. As planned and mentioned on this occasion, the expansion of the mobile network continues. So this has increased the coverage, the quality of the network, but also additional capex compared to last year. Page 28 is the mobile business OPEX breakdown. Domestic interconnection very much again related to revenue growth with more subs in postpaid and higher MOUs. Commercial expenses is again related to the competition in the marketplace. And maintenance side, there was an accounting adjustment for the capitalization of certain spending, which will give us long-term benefits. And in the bad debt, Avaya had similar operational improvements in the bad debt collections, and due to the change in estimations, they recorded a one-time revenue of 31 million, which we hope to be an ongoing benefit. Other line includes expense items like rent, lease line, utilities. These three are more than 70% of those lines, and you can hear those are all related to the expansion of the network. So as we expand the network, we add some fixed cost base to the system. Having completed the financial section of the presentation, now I will hand this back to our group CEO, Hakan Bey, for the announcement of the
guidance dividend.
So Hakan Bey.
Thank you, Hakan Bey. This is your first time. I think you did a wonderful job. Happy to have you on the team. And I have a message from the board of directors that I would like to read. First of all, I will start with the dividend. The Board of Directors has agreed to recommend to the General Assembly on the 25th of May 2012 the following. The distributable income after allocating for the mandatory reserves has reached up to 1.897 billion liras. And therefore, the Board of Directors has recommended to the General Assembly scheduled on 25th of May 2012 to distribute this dividend in line, of course, with the Articles of Association of the company. To help you with calculation, for those who do not have a calculator in front of them, the gross dividend per share will be 0.54 kurush, which is the payout ratio is 92%, of course, the same payout ratio as last year. Okay. And now I would like to move to the guidance. We had a very strong growth year in 2011. We are very happy and excited about that. But I think the most important element of what happened in 2011 is that it gave us a very clear vision of what we are doing in 2012, what we will do in 2012, and how we're going to continue this momentum. So I'm also very happy to announce that our guidance for 2012 is as follows. our revenue growth is 6-8% range. Our EBITDA margin is in the low 40s. And our CapEx will be around 2.4 billion lira. Now, I will turn the call back to Nicola, and she is the moderator for your questions and answers. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To cancel your question, please press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's star 1 to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. There will be a short silence while participants register for questions. The first question comes from the line of Jean Charles. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company name.
Hi, yes, it's Jean Charles Marley from JP Morgan.
Hello, can you hear me? Before you start the question, I would like to interrupt just to make sure that I got the message across. We're talking about 0.54 lira, 54 kurush. Just to, I know you guys got that, but just wanted to emphasize this. Maybe I had said it differently. And now I'm all ears. We are all ears to your question, please.
Okay, thank you. No, just to start, maybe on fixed voice. I mean, obviously, overall for the year, -3% is a very good outcome. But in the fourth quarter, you know, year over year, it's -7.3%. It was -4% in the third. So it looks like, you know, it's the decline is accelerating a little bit again. So I was just wondering if you could share your expectations for 2012 in that respect, on that, in that particular revenue line. And then just on ADSL, obviously very good growth in 2011, but with little on the volume. I mean, 2.6% sub growth. You're highlighting those efforts to increase penetration. Can you just maybe talk about your expectations? You know, this education program that you've been talking about for some time. Are you seeing any kind of upsell, or is it too early? You know, from the Locum product into packages. I mean, just and also what happened on the pricing side? I mean, what did you do this year on the ADSL pricing, and maybe your expectation for fiber as well, and take up and the impact on ARPU that this is going to have.
Okay, so you did a very good job of upselling. You started with two questions and you gave us five. So JP Morgan, that's a good job. But just to remember, the PSTN, ADSL, educational program, the pricing side on ADSL, and then you said you might as well put the fiber in there. So the fifth is fiber. Am I correct?
Yes. And then fixed voice to start with, obviously, just to see it, the accelerating decline.
PSTN is fixed voice.
Yep.
That's what I mentioned a minute. Okay, no problem at all. Let me just give you a general answer about that, and I think our CMO, Rembe, would like to answer some details on this. Look, we prepare. I'm very happy that you have noticed the 3% and you had mentioned it, and that's what we look at. Quarter by quarter is not how we would like to look at things. We are strategic. We look at it on what happened throughout the year and what is the performance. Number two, I think after 10 quarters, correct me if I'm wrong, RMB, 10 quarters of very slight decline, and there's no way, no one, you know, is talking about a resurrection of the fixed or something's going to happen where the fixed miracle and all of that. No one has ever said this. But, you know, there was a quarter that we are that we have seen where we are building on how we can continue a good defense of the PSTN. And this is something that we have seen before, and we will see again. Number two, before you go to RM, I think the experience that we have in 2011 and the way we have accomplished 2011 gives us a very clear vision of where the Turkish market is going, how our leadership efforts are changing, transforming the market, and where is our leadership leverage is. And that's why we have launched two or three major initiatives for 2012 that we would also like to update you on quarter by quarter. Our eyes on the number, are on the numbers always. We're very confident that our strategy is working. It has worked in 2011, and I think it will be very strong in 2012. For further detail, and then maybe we'll come back to you and talk a bit about fiber from our strategy chief, I will leave you to Erem Bey.
Thank you, Hakan Bey. This is Erem Demircan, CMO of Türk Telekom. We talked about KSTN many times on those investor calls, and as Hakan Bey said, actually after 9 quarters of stable revenues, the last quarter was a little bit less than the other quarter before, but we know the reasons, and we know why it is 7% compared to 2010 quarter four. And the major difference is it comes from actually when last year we increased the prices of EVA and Touch packages, now which reached almost 9 million, close to 9 million subscribers, we also included all the bundled minutes as all directions. And we kept those campaign until 31st of December. So when you compare actually last quarter of 2010 and last quarter of 2011, there is a difference between one includes home advantage, advantage packages as on-net, and 2011 quarter four is only 2011 quarter four is all directional, and that brings of course some revenue. As 1st of January this year, this campaign of all directional minutes is stopped. It's again on-net only. So anybody who talks off-net has to pay the off-net call charge. So that will bring us additional revenue this quarter. And also we took, as Hakan Bey said, a lot of initiatives regarding PSTN and what we call actually as access lines. So it has a big value to the home. And we introduced our Locum Turkish Delight project, which says that we offer free internet connection, we offer free Wi-Fi modem to this home, and we offer a very important portal with a good content in it that we do together with Microsoft MSN. We believe that it is both a good value to PSTN and it's a good engine to increase broadband penetration. And regarding PSTN, we also started loyalty programs. We introduced the end of December 2011. There are two programs we are running on loyalty programs to create value to the customer. And it was very much welcomed by the subscribers that both you can earn points when you own PSTN and also ADSL lines. And also brand cooperations with major brands, as explained by Hakan Bey at the beginning of the presentation. And until now, although we started the advertising only 2 days ago, before we just made some small below-the-line communication, today about 70,000 subscribers are already members of the loyalty program. And also, regarding the brand cooperation, about 230,000 subscribers use those brand corporations to benefit from the advantageous prices the major brands are offering to PSTN and ADSL owners. And also regarding PSTN, of course, we always have the chance, we are keeping in our hands the inflation increases. We are following very closely the revenues. And in case we see there is a problem, we can always use this tool as well. So as Hakan Bey said, we are following PSTN, it's a very important product for us. We are following it very closely, but there are also initiatives that we are following right now.
Okay, great. And on the education program, there is news that the 52 school, which is the prototype, has been successful and officially launched, and we are still talking about the final tender and what's going to happen. And this is, by the way, we haven't been talking about it a lot. This is, as I said, this is a macro project for the government, and they lead all the timing. But the development is what I told you, which is the 52 schools. That is a prototype, and it's launched. And okay, on the ADSL, the same answer for the pricing that Erem Bey has said. We have not done inflationary prices. We've done something slight on the new packages, but for the core of that, we haven't done yet. We're monitoring very closely, and it's always an option. No decision has done yet. Before I go to fiber to Ramadan Bey, I want to say one thing very important so that this question will keep coming. A PSTN decline is offset by other business lines and growth in other business lines, which is very important. And the growing absolute EBITDA is key, and that's what's happening, and that's our main focus. We also ended the year with a lot with more subscribers than we have started as a group, and this is more to say than many fixed line incumbents around the world. With this, I would like to introduce Ramadan Bey. He will talk about the defensive side of our program and also the very important and bigger offensive and aggressive side of our growth in fiber.
Thank you very much, Hakan Bey. This is Ramadan Demir, VP of Strategy and Business Development. Just to give a context, usage of data in Turkey from December 2010 and 2011 increased approximately 50% in terms of like monthly data consumption. This is actually an important driver for our network investment. This clearly shows there is a hunger for data consumption. Of course, with that it comes to speed. So far, we have been actually investing our CapEx for our network strategy in a very optimized sense. So we were kind of like very ROI conscious. Now, timing is also right for fiber in the sense that because of the fiber exclusivity, Türk Telekom Group actually in a position to deploy fiber where there is supply and demand. So we kind of balance that. So to Hakan's Bey point, so there are actually three value drivers for fiber. One is obviously any potential incremental revenue. The second is maybe most importantly ensuring or increasing the lifetime value of the customers. And of course, third thing is for 2012 and beyond, we have a very, how to say, balanced TV strategy where we kind of like enter into new adjacent market kind of media content products that will also boost the value fiber to our consumers. So with that, I will...
Thank you. And the last comment on fiber, I think we are looking forward for a new segment, just like we are in Locom, where Locom is focused on new segments that have not used the ADSL, and we have put hooks in there for the cannibalization, and the, you know, I don't want to go into the details, but we are protected from a very big chunk of the cannibalization. And I think the main value of this for us to add new subscribers is the platform now is ready for value-added services, is ready for TV Boo and IPTV, and makes the subscriber well-positioned to upgrade not only their services, but their habits around the internet. And they are retained at an open, unlimited capacity, which is our goal, always upselling to that unlimited. And that's the biggest protection that we can do compared to some of the 3G solutions out there. Sorry, the
very
question
good.
Was long and the answers had to be long.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Daria Femina. Please go ahead with your question and answer the company name.
Good afternoon. That's actually Alexander Blokhin from Goldman Sachs here. And I had three questions, if I may. First, can you please share with us your expectations on how the wholesale line rental will impact your business, both from the competition and the ability to promote your own ADSL product, and probably from the potential investment standpoint, if you forecast any impact. Second is on your CapEx guidance level, which stands at around 20% of sales. Do you think this year is sort of a peak year, or you envisage any potentially like more years of relatively high CapEx going forward? And lastly, do you think you may propose later this year when the legislation allows some other forms of shareholder remuneration. Thank you so much.
Okay, number three, shareholder remuneration is General Assembly Board of Directors decision and matrix, and you know I have no opinion or a comment on that. On question number two, the CAPEX, we have always maintained that 2011 and 2012 are going to be high CAPEX years. This is inherent in our business for these 2 years, and it has to be done because we are looking forward to sustainable growth. We are looking forward to the future of getting a higher value from our subscribers. So these were inevitable. On the Avaya side, today Avaya gained 1.1 million subscribers, and this would not have happened if we had not put that CAPEX. In 2012, as you know, there's a legislation that came out from BTK about protection of fiber, so there has to be more investment there. There has to be more investment in Avaya, which we are very happy with the development of Avaya, especially on the discipline of the team, on their so-called smart growth, and also on the results. We're also very happy to see what CTNet is doing with the upsell. We're happy to see that our line, there is a very good defense, and they're coming up with very strategic corporate solutions for us. All of that for a company that has been recently privatized and 140 years old requires this CAPEX. So we had always maintained 2011-2012 high CAPEX, and then I don't think that this is a long-term or a mid-term even increase in that in CAPEX. So we are envisioning, and we've always said that to analysts and investors, that you know, on the coming years, we should be able to slow that down a bit. And this is very important to us. And if you see how we are closing on the group levels from increase in absolute EBITDA, from increase in net subscribers, these are two elements that are very important to evaluate where the fixed line incumbent conglomerate or integrated operator is going. And this is the strength of TT Group. And this is the strength of the way the management is pushing forward and also eyeing the numbers every quarter. Your first question is about the expectation, the wholesale. I will ask Erembe, my colleague and CMO, to answer you.
Thank you, Akambe. This is Erem Demirjan again. Now, as you know, we are quite strong in changing threats into opportunities when it comes from the regulation. You would recall this with the local calls opening to competition. When it was accepted as a major threat, we converted into a very good opportunity by bundling minutes, both local and long distance, and we created those home advantage packages. We stabilized our MOU revenues and also increased the recurring revenues to 71% of all revenue. And regard to naked DSL, many people are thinking that that's a threat, but we changed this into an opportunity as well by introducing this through KTNet and actually reaching subscribers who doesn't have PSTN today. And right now, we have about 240,000 naked DSL subscribers, and the cannibalization from PSN is minimal, but it increases the number of access lines and ADSL subscribers. Now, we approach this wholesale line rental similarly. We think it's a very good opportunity, and we are working with both TETN and the other ISPs together for the last 1 year about this wholesale line rental, that they will be bundling the line, the PSTN line with their packages, offer double play, quad, triple play, and quadruple play offers, which we believe is a very good value to the customer. It's good for the ISP as well, for retaining the customer, and also get higher ARPUs. This is the way we approach wholesale line then.
Thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Tibor Bukar. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company name.
Hi, Tibor Bokor, ING. I have one more question regarding the CapEx. Where exactly is this higher CapEx for 2011 and 12 going into? And specifically, there is some gap between you and competitors in terms of the mobile 3G base stations. Do you think that you will be closing this gap in 2012? Thank you.
We usually don't go down and analyze the CapEx further, but I think, you know, one of the items that that you have mentioned is the answer to your question. Now, we have doubled the mass, as you've seen in your presentation, close to double the mass of Avaya. Now, define closing the gap. We do not intend to be another Turkcell. This is not the intention. Avaya is a smart growth company. It is part of a bigger and a very important part of a consolidated, converged solution. They come with, I think, very unique equity, brand equity, and a product proposition in the market, and they have proved themselves. I mean, we have the highest net MNP subscribers. So this tells you that we are spending the CapEx in the right place. If you look at TTNet and their ability to upsell, if you look at the very fierce battle that the PSTN team is fighting, very, very aggressive prices in mobile and maintaining a 3% decline year on year, which is one of the best in the region, if not the world, that shows you that the CapEx is being well utilized. Now, I don't have much to say about the future CapEx, except that we do not, and we've always said this, we do not see 2011, 2012 as a trend going into the future. We are going this, and there will be a slight decline in some of these, or less, or decline in these CapEx rates, of course. But today, that's what we do them. There has to be a transformation to allow for our smart growth strategy, to allow for higher ARPU, to allow for better subscribers and more value-added services. That is the name of the game. And the great thing about Türk Telekom Group and what we have done is that you see, with these high rates of CapEx, you see a 10% increase in revenue, 1.1 mobile net additions subscribers, 170,000 in ADSL and new ADSL initiatives, and more importantly, 5% higher EBITDA than last year. So our story is not your standard where, you know, give us 2 years, we need to spend some time, and we promise you the future. We are doing it today and now for the shareholders.
So let me rephrase the question a little bit. So do you believe that having significantly less 3G base stations is a huge disadvantage to Avaya, and you are addressing it, and this way you hope to increase your market share further? Or in other words, you know, we are very excited about the growth in Avaya, and we know that there is more potential to go. But just your view on how to tackle that potential. Is it through improving the network quality? Is it through improving the distribution? If you could a little bit elaborate on this, thank you.
Both. Network quality, and that's being being done, and you see some of the numbers. 32% increase in our exclusive stores. That's very important. But we and rest assured that Avaya is doing this day to day. I will give the chance to Kadir Bey, he's the Chief Strategy Officer for Avaya, to comment. But I want to be very careful on when you are saying close the gap, because I don't want this to turn into that Avaya has a smart growth policy. So we're not going to tell, I don't want to change this into, you know, we're running after to try to become, you know, number that number, or we have to match this, or we have to match that. We don't want to give this CapEx merely to buy market share. We want to maintain the smart growth. How do you analyze the smart growth? Give me the ARPU, give me the net subscribers, that's important for us. Now, the EBITDA margin is not where we want it to be. Of course, it can be higher than this, but this is a market effect. If you notice that even the biggest market share has doesn't have the average of the usuals in the region or in the world. And this is because we have very high competition, price war that everybody, the three, are doing it. It's the responsibility of the major player. But this is the mechanism. So what Kadir is going to say, I don't want you to think that this is change of strategy where Avaya is becoming more aggressive and buying market share. That's not what we're doing. We are maintaining what Erkan Bey, the CEO of Avaya, is always saying, smart growth. I don't know if he would also like to comment on this, but first Kadir Bey will.
Hi, Kadir Borsan here. Quick, data is obviously one of the key drivers of our revenue growth, and it has been the case last quarter and last year. We will continue to invest into 3G to make sure that it reaches the satisfactory coverage so that we follow the demand and when there's a return on investment for the base stations we built. It is very critical for us. And obviously, we're not a standalone mobile operator. We will leverage to the maximum possible potential of the Wi-Fi network to our benefit.
Yes. And the overall synergies, the Wi-Fi, Kadir Bey, you're absolutely right about that. And the overall synergies in terms of the common shared, customer base, whether it's corporate or consumers, all of that is the Avaya, but there's no buying market share attitude.
Thank you very much. Very helpful.
You are very welcome. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Stan Dillon. Please go ahead with your question and then your company name.
Hello, guys. This is Stan Dillon from Barclays Capital. Couple of questions. Firstly, on your revenue guidance, could you please give some granularity on how much of the growth you expect to come from the fixed line or from the mobile? And secondly, given you expect margins to be low 40%, can we infer that you're not expecting mobile margins to improve at all in 2011? Thanks.
You mean in 2012?
Yes, in 2012. Sorry, did I say 2011?
Yes, but the starting point is 2011. I'll start with your second question first. Look, there is no sign of price war fading away. Do we want it to fade away? Of course we do. And I think the signs needs to be from the entity that will control more than the market share, the biggest market share, whether it's revenue or subscribers or even EBITDA. But this is what's on today. When I don't know. Could be you can talk about an upside on that, but I cannot here today tell you that I see the price war is going to end, and this does not reflect on the guidance. Your first question on the guidance was about the 40s and the composition. The composition of the revenues. I wouldn't want to get into any of the details of how that growth is composed of. But I think it's your basic. We're looking at the data, mobile and fixed. We're looking at these areas where there are high growth areas, coupled by a lot of the premium services to also protect our margins. It's very important that our margins don't skid. We are trying to look at all the other incumbent privatized big fixed wire incumbents and try not to repeat some of these experiences. So this is how we are thinking.
Okay. I frequently get questions about if the growth is going to come from the far more profitable fixed line business or the less profitable mobile, and I'll likely get those questions again. But I can understand you're unlikely to give color. But thank you very much.
That's why we are talking about the guidance. So when you guide on the low 40s, you will be able to sense that the guidance where so the guidance I think in itself answers your question. Couple it by the revenue guidance and there you go.
Okay, fantastic, guys. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Vera Santindra. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company name.
Yes, good evening. Vera Santindra from Erste Group in Vienna. I have some question regarding the doubtful receivable estimation update. Can you tell me just what is actually that? The second question would be regarding this news about the takeover or the sale of OJ Telecom. I mean, is there actually any impact for Turk Telecom whatsoever, or will that trigger some kind of mandatory takeover bid, or this is are just on the shareholders level, so it has nothing to do with you?
The shareholder has issued disclosed the statement. I will refer this question to that statement. The statement was disclosed more than a week ago. So they have disclosed the statement to the market, and I will refer you to that statement. I have no further comment.
But by the change of the ownership order will not make any difference for Turk Telecom, isn't it?
No, but you know, by the change means that there is a change. I can't relate the two questions to together. So, you know, I'm afraid if I answer the second one, there'll be an illusion that there's a first one, and there is a clear statement from the main shareholders in OJ Telecom. I would refer you to that, and you know, can look up on some of the regulations.
I mean, if I may ask in another way, whoever owns OJ Telecom will not have any impact on Turk Telecom.
Yes, the answer is yes.
Okay.
Whoever, when you said, and I mean, the OJ Telecom is our owner. And
yeah,
and the,
exactly.
And,
whoever
and the treasury,
owns your owner, yeah.
And the treasury and the people that have our stock.
Yeah, exactly. And about the doubtful receivable estimation update, can you explain to us what that is?
Naturally, when we set the bad debt reserve, we look at our past performance for how we are collecting our receivables. So what Avea did, they just checked what happened in the past due receivables, how well they were doing for collecting their past due receivables. And then they see that they have an opportunity that they just lowered the reserve ratio. That's the story behind that.
I mean, did you reduce or lengthen the number of outstanding debt for the doubtful receivables? That would be more precise.
Can you repeat that? It's not very clear.
I mean, the doubtful receivable estimation update. Did you? Can I say that you actually have lengthened the amount of outstanding days for pending debt,
no.
And therefore the doubtful receivables actually declined because you lengthened the days of outstanding, the days outstanding.
No.
Okay, and if I may ask, can you update us on the, in terms of IPTV was launched last year, how many customers you have, and also I would like to know, please, regarding the dongle subscribers, you can give us a bit of light how far you have been in these two areas.
We don't want to go to such to some of these details. We can tell you that we have increased our sales market share of the dongles the last month, and the IPTV is doing as a niche product, doing okay and growing.
Okay, and the problem of very last month. Will you hedge your outstanding or your new US dollar or euro debt?
Sorry, repeat that again.
Will you hedge your US dollar or euro debt?
I think one of the very big accomplishments that the finance team has had is that enabling us to do two things now. We have 50-50 division on euro and dollar. Usually they go different ways. So this is good. And then we've increased our average debt period to 2.6 years. So this is very good. Now, if we hedge, that has a price. It would be the same as getting the interest rate, paying the interest rate for the lira. And these are all realized costs hit the cash flow. Today we are in a situation where we are, it was unfortunate because the lira, the dollar and the euro, went the same way. But there is a chance for the next few months, for the next year, that this is transformed again with the appreciation of the lira. Now, as the lira interest rate, if it's coming down, if there is availability, because until recently there was no availability in the longer term, we can get some liras, and we are getting some liras. But this is the, we believe, the best long-term position to be in and the least risky.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Naui Singh. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company name.
For me, how do you think?
Naui Singh, your line is now open.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can
hear you. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. This is Maddie Singh from Morgan Stanley. I have one question on the pricing environment in the mobile segment, especially. The ARPMs look like declined about 9% year-on-year. So should we expect trend to continue in 2012, that year-on-year decline in ARPM will persist? And second question just related with that is, who is leading the price cuts at this moment? Is it Evia or is it Vodafone continuing to...
No. I'll answer your second question first, and then please repeat the first question, and maybe the my Avaya colleagues will give you. Look, this is pointing the finger, who is leading. We don't do that. We don't do that. That's not the name of the game, to look and say, they are doing it. No, he's doing it. There's a price war going on. Everybody is participating. We need to see how we can make the market better for the customers so that we can invest more and give them higher services. And the responsibility, we know where the responsibility lies. But who is doing it, and I push point fingers, we don't do that, and I don't think others should do that either. So it's not something that
I can answer. Let me rephrase the question then. Is Evia proactive in reducing prices, or is it reactive in reducing prices?
Avaya is a market player, and then there is a market, and there are competitive pressures on the two other players on us. So there is no market leadership in pricing leadership for the third operator. Whoever is saying that we have pricing, we have pricing leadership as Türk Telekom Group, of course, in other areas, and you see how we have contributed to investing and making these markets much more, eminent for the customer. But as I said, price war means everybody is privy of it, is doing it. And there is an upside that this will stop. It will benefit everybody. And we start focusing really on value for the customer. It's very important for us is that we protect the customer interest. That's very important for us.
Okay. The first question was on average revenues per minute for Evia. It declined about 9% year-on-year during fourth quarter. So I was asking, is this something we should expect?
There's a decline 9% of what for Avaya?
Yes, for year-on-year.
Year-on-year, yes, 9% decline in RPM.
Let me tackle the question. Kadir Borsan here. Sorry, go ahead.
Should we expect a similar decline going forward in 2012?
I mean, when we look at actually the market dynamics, we don't actually stand alone look at the RPM. We look at it overall ARPU development as well as the subscriber development together with the RPM. And when it comes to the market dynamics, we are a challenger operator. So if you look at the market trend in the last 2 to 3 years, the decline is not necessarily on us, actually mostly in relation to the market leader. And our position is how we do to defend our turf, to make sure that our market share is defended and we provide continue to provide attractive packages to our customers. So that's our standpoint. And going forward, what will happen, I mean, our position on that one is also clear. We are in favor of market rationalization, and we expect that to come soon, and we expect the leader of the market, if they're interested, if that's in the benefit of the market, will take that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Ivan Kim. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company name.
Good evening. This is Ivan Kim from Renaissance Capital. Two questions, please. One, on the pricing, again, in the mobile space. So you are saying that there is a price war ongoing there. Can you please elaborate on what's actually happening? Are the prices going down? Are the players aggressive on marketing? Are they promoting some products very aggressively? And the second question is on the competitive situation in the broadband space. So basically, Turkcell with the fiber proposition, do you see them becoming more aggressive in targeting the retail market? And just overall, what are your expectations of the competitive situation in broadband 2012? Thank you.
Okay, second question first, and then the first question, Kadir Bey will give it a shot. We respect all competition. Today, like you see in your documents, we have 730 home passes, fiber to the home, and we are trying to grow that. And of course, we are seeing a very clear leadership role because we already have over 3 million home passes on fiber to the cabinet. So this is the a good position for Turk Telecom Group. But it's a competitive environment, and about competition plans, I think you should ask the competition about their plans. Not us. I can tell you that in a few words that we are doing the best we can to make sure that we are in the areas where it is profitable, that we cover the whole countries, but the areas we focus on are the ones that make commercial sense, and we build a threshold so that people can upgrade to higher value-added services, more usage with the introduction of the new content in various segments, and of course raising the penetration of household with broadband, and this is our fiber story, and I think Ramazan Bey has clarified this very quite thoroughly. Kadir Bey.
Okay. On the first question in relation to price war, as you quoted in mobile, actually I wouldn't call it as price war. And maybe let's start it from a little bit in the last 2 years. If you look at 2010, the year was broadly stable and aggressiveness at a certain level. There was a slight recovery almost in that year. And what we have witnessed and experienced early to 2011 is deterioration in the aggressiveness in the market. I don't want to get it who started, how it all started, but we ended up in this situation, and that has actually been stably aggressive competitive environment since then. And there is no clear signal in the market as it's getting worse or it's getting better at this stage. And we're monitoring the situation very closely. And as I said earlier to the other question, our position is we would like to actually see rationalization in the market because we certainly don't believe these EBITDA levels are acceptable because of this competition. And we want to make sure that if the rationalization comes to the market, we'll also benefit from that.
Yeah, sure, but could you please elaborate on what's actually happening? So basically, do the competitors decrease prices? Do they introduce some promotional offers? Or they just spend a lot on the marketing products, decreasing the margins?
I mean, I can give you actually some specific kind of tariffs, but rather than into going that detail, what I want to say is there is also a significant, we call it postpaidization of the market. And therefore, with the postpaid, high ARPU customers are getting actually high flat minutes. Therefore, they actually start using actually higher minutes and MOEs are increasing. And that also brings high ARPU for us as well. So that is the trend overall in the market. And that actually looks like, if you look at the pure RPM basis, it gives you a different story. But as I said, you also don't see in this year-over-year RPM change the impact of the deterioration that we've seen early 2011.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Daliba Baruska. Please go ahead with your question and ask your company name.
Oh, hello. Good evening. This is Dalibor Vavruska from Citi. Just a few questions. I don't know if you can share with us the structure of your fixed line revenue as far as residential and business is concerned. I'm just wondering, I mean, obviously with Super Online and perhaps Vodafone moving in this direction as well, whether you can shed some light on which parts of the market may become more competitive and which parts you feel are so far safer from competition. I assume that the business customer segment at some stage will become more competitive because it will be more attractive for the potential competitors. And also, if I can add one or two more questions, in terms of your guidance, I'm just wondering how much that guidance is reliant on the government projects at all. If you look at that growth, maybe next year, maybe next couple of years, how much of that growth do you think can be attributed to the effects of the government project? And the third question would be, obviously there were some negative trends. I think you well explained some of the reasons for that in the headline numbers in the fixed line business in the fourth quarter. My question would be, to what extent this is because of saturation of the market as a whole, as opposed to perhaps either competition or you anticipating some competition potentially entering some segments of the market and perhaps trying to preempt that and take some measures that affected your fixed line margin in the fourth quarter? Thank you.
Okay, I appreciate all the questions, but I don't want to get into a discussion of preference, because sometimes when someone prefers something, it becomes argumentative. So I don't want to talk about the preferences. First of all, there was a 10% growth in 2011. There was no what you refer to as government projects. So 2012, the people of Turkey, the government of Turkey, they have a project which is not co-sponsored with Turk Telecom. It is a strategy to enhance education, to enhance digitalized education, and it's all over the world. We are going to be one of the companies that deal with that, and by the size of that project, it will have an impact like any other project on the guidance. Now, in terms of saturation, I mean, it is no big secret that there is fixed mobile substitution. Good companies in PSTN like us are the ones who have very good promotions and can sustain it. But I don't think, I know that we were waiting a lot after 10 quarters of very, very slight decline. We were waiting to see when that quarter is going to come. And automatically we're talking about saturation and all of that. I think that it is premature to talk about these things. And I think that Q4 is only 1 point in 2011. And we need to talk about that whole year. And we're going to continue to do the job and look at how we can defend it, how we can protect the churn. And this comes with the business. But the main focus when you're dealing with the group is not to prove that fixed line is bad or fixed line is good, but to upgrade your absolute EBITDA, to upgrade your net number of subscribers, to transform the revenue streams of your company. And I give Turk Telecom Group A-plus on one, A-plus on two, and A-plus on three. Your third question, please. I forgot it.
Sorry, it was about if you can share with us the breakdown of fixed business in terms of corporate customers and residential, or give us any idea.
I cannot go into that detail to break down for you some of that. All I can tell you, and I see that our chief sales officer, chief marketing officer are nodding their heads, that the business segment is, of course, very important to us and growing.
Okay.
And growing. In terms of products offered, and in terms of course business itself.
Okay, not even in terms of number of lines, or you can, or not you can't basically get any kind of indication, or maybe just whether half of the business is, or more than half is residential or business in terms of revenue, or any kind of indication. I suppose it's difficult.
Nope.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Have a great day, man.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Mehmet Agyus. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company name.
Yes, hi, good evening. Mehmet Agyus, UniCredit. Regarding the positive impact of this campaign on collection of overdue receivables on the fixed line business, could you tell us how much did it have an impact on the PSTN subscriber base?
The campaign of the
collection of overdue receivables.
Sure.
Okay, Eram Demircan again. We made very detailed analysis on this area. Of course, that's also a concern to us. We have seen that there is no major impact on PSTN subscriber numbers.
Okay, could you, tell us how the mechanics works, maybe for us to better estimate for the next couple of quarters? Is this just a one-off collection, and the previously unpaying subscribers are still no longer a subscriber of Türk Telekom, or are they new subscribers? Or do you expect this campaign to continue throughout the rest of this year?
To start with your last question, we already completed, so it was ended at the end of last year. So we have no plans for the time being for repeating such an activity, but it's always an option. So most of the contributors to the activity were the customers that owns Türk Telekom from many years before the. So most of them are active customers. So as I said, it ended at zero.
Okay, my last question is regarding the pricing outlook on the PSTN side. Considering the MOU declines, how do you see the pricing for next year compared to around 8 to 10% price increases in 2011?
Well, I think I would refer to a slight decline. As I said, I have my eyes a little bit higher, so I don't want to focus on quarter on quarter. And this is normal. But with the MOU and the revenue in PSTN are two levers that you can play. Sometimes you lose here, add here, and lose here. So it's the skillfulness of the team that works on this. So I will take the pricing out of the context where you've asked it, and I put it independently. And I tell you that there is potential, maybe an inflationary increase, very minimal of that, but no decision has been made yet. Can this be done? Yeah, it can be done. We have to be very careful, of course, if we do something like this. But we did not think about this, and there is no decision at all about this aspect, independent of the effect of MOU. And the most important thing, and that's why Türk Telekom Group is very successful in domain, is that you don't panic and you start reacting by, I got a hit here, I changed my debt structure. I got a hit there, I do this. It's very important that this strategy is maintained, that you are confident and focused, that every quarter, the next quarter, and the next half year and year is clear and in terms of visibility in front of you, and that's how our management looks forward. So I really hesitant to start relating implementive moves based on just mere reactions. So I'll give you the same answer that we gave our first friend who asked from JP Morgan, who asked five questions. We answered the same thing about the ADSL and PSTN vis-a-vis the price.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We appear to have no further questions, so I'll hand the conference back to you.
Okay. Onur Bey?
I think this is all.
I think she'll come back again, tell us it's all. Right, or no? Of tomorrow to be
done. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference, so you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.